Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Pardon me, 8:14. A lot of people don't realize tomorrow is election day, but it is. It's 11:14 today as well as 8:14 time-wise. But tomorrow's November 15th, which is election day. With that, we welcome in Clancy DuBose, WWL Louisiana political analyst. Good morning, Clancy. How are you?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me about the election tomorrow and what's got your attention.
Well, I mentioned in my commentary on Channel 4 this week that there's over 500 million reasons for New Orleans voters to go to the polls tomorrow, because there's $510 million in bond issues, three separate bond proposals. Now, that's on a citywide ballot, and there's also a citywide runoff for clerk of criminal district court, and that is a red-hot race between Calvin Duncan, the challenger, and Darren Lombard, the incumbent. There's two things that are really, really important about the clerk of court at criminal district court. Normally, clerk's races, you know, once you get to be clerk, it's kind of like being assessor. You're hardly ever challenged, mm-hmm. and they're not races that tend to draw a lot of attention. But Duncan is a unique kind of a candidate. He's wrote a book called The Jailhouse Lawyer. He was wrongly convicted many years ago and fought his way out through the system legally. And one of the reasons it took him so long, he said, and he wrote this in his book, that he couldn't get records out of the clerk's office. So when he got out, he got a law degree, and now he's running for clerk, he said, because he doesn't want anybody else to have to face that problem. In fact, it was written up in the New York Times this morning, the race was. And Darren Lombard is the incumbent clerk, and you know, he himself wasn't responsible for he was the clerk at the time that Mr. Duncan had these challenges. But it's become a really interesting race because of the dynamics. And I think Lombard criticized Duncan and claimed that he wasn't really exonerated, et cetera. And that drew more attention to the race, and it actually backfired on Mr. Lombard. And now they're in a runoff. Duncan finished about 600 or so, a little less than 700 votes ahead of Lombard in the runoff. And now they're locked into this red hot runoff. But the two things that are, besides the clerk's office being responsible for the records at criminal district court, the clerk of criminal district court is also the chief elections officer in Orleans Parish. And that has gotten almost no attention here. And that's a pretty important thing, you know, and Lombard has done a good job as the elections guy, and I think Duncan has acknowledged that. But the way I see it, this race has really been electrified by the dynamic of a guy who was wronged by the system, mm-hmm. running for it and getting a lot of attention. And he's got a good narrative, a good life story. So he's drawn a lot of attention to a race that normally gets very little attention. So anyway, that's on the ballot tomorrow. In addition to the three bond proposals, let me just say a quick word about those bond proposals. Mm-hmm. There's one, the biggest one is for city infrastructure. That's for $415 million. And then there's a $45 million one for affordable housing. And there's a $50 million one for drainage and stormwater management. And the two that are for infrastructure are not that controversial, but the one for affordable housing has, you know, drawn a little bit of pushback. So it'll be interesting to see how voters decide that race. And then we had two runoffs for the city council, one in District A, which is Uptown, K Carrollton, Gertown, and Lakeview, parts of Mid-City, and District E, which is just about all of East New Orleans and all of the lower Ninth Ward.
So in District A, you got two of Joe Geruso's aides going at each other, a little bit going at each other, taking the gloves off lately. And then in District D, you got the former city council person, Cindy Nguyen, going against, I don't have the name in front of me. Help me out, Clancy.
State Representative Jason Hughes.
Jason Hughes, that's right.
Both of those are both, let's just say that it's not a good guy, bad guy, a good person, bad person. You know, nobody in either one is scandalized or anything like that. So they're both going to be hard fought races. I don't have a handle on who's on top in either one. I think it's because of the turnout, and that's an important thing to note. Turnout in those two districts will be higher than in the rest of the city because of the council runoffs. But overall, it doesn't look like turnout's going to be very large, and that's a shame because there's a lot of good reasons to vote, even if you don't live in one of those two council districts. You know, the clerk's race is important, and those bond issues are important.
And they get that charter change too, right?
Yes. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
tell people what that is for good people that don't know about the charter change.
You got to refresh my memory.
What I think it's going to do is it's going to make sure that the verbiage is there that the city attorney represents both the council and the mayor.
That's right. Yeah, and that's been a subject of a long-standing feud going back to, in my memory, at least back to Dutch Morial's days, because sometimes the city attorney is appointed by the mayor, but he or she is the chief legal officer for the city. So that puts the city attorney sometimes in a potential conflict of interest position, because when the mayor squabbles with the council, the mayor should send his or her executive counsel down there, counsel with an S, his or her lawyer down there. But sometimes the city attorney gets in the middle of it, and the council winds up saying, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to represent, who represents us? You know, so there have been times, especially during this current mayor's term, where the council hired its own lawyer to sue the mayor, and the city attorney wound up representing the mayor. So it's they're putting this in the charter. I don't know how much it's going to clarify things unless it's going to put the city attorney in a position of recusing himself or herself when there's a spat between the mayor and the city council.
Did you know
go ahead.
Did you know Nostradamus predicted that when I reminded you of something, that would be a precursor to Armageddon? Look it up. It's true. It's in Quatrain 385, I think it is. I'm going to talk about Helena Moreno when we come back. 821 traffic now, WWL. All right, 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Clancy DuBose, WWL Louisiana political analyst. Clancy, when it comes to Helena Moreno, I couldn't have scripted anything better for her to say. She seems like she is on top of it. It's hard for me not to be optimistic about, and I understand the budget constraints and so forth and the money problems of the city, but from a leadership role, for me, it's hard not to be excited about Helena Moreno. Thoughts?
I agree. And in fact, this budget crisis really gave her a chance to shine, because it was almost a showcase of what makes her the person, the mayor, that New Orleans needs right now, frankly. And I don't endorse candidates. I'm just talking about what has already happened.
Well, she's won already, so you don't have to endorse anybody.
No, I'm talking about how she handled this budget situation.
Oh, I got you.
When everybody else was losing their wits, you know, especially at the state level, she was the picture of calm. And that is the mark of a real leader in a crisis. It's someone who keeps calm, looks at the big picture, and walks everybody else off the ledge. And she, you know, she's developed lots of really strong relationships with other politicians, including people that she doesn't agree with, like Jeff Landry. Mm-hmm. And I've learned from, let's just say, a very knowledgeable source that the first time Bixby and Landry spoke about this was after Landry put his tweet out saying, we need to bring in an administrator. This is all, New Orleans is all messed up and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she called him and said, Governor, you know, why didn't you call me? Because, you know, I don't know where you get your information, but, you know, and she very calmly, and he was just, you know, he gets angry and he gets excited and kind of went off, and that she didn't respond in kind. She, you know, with somebody else is blowing off steam or just ranting, she just very calmly listens and says, okay, let's walk through this. You know, and she calms people down.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And that's what she did. And she put together, you know, she has a strong relationship with Landry, even though they're not on the same team politically. But, you know, they get along with each other. She has a great relationship with Cameron Henry, the president of the Senate. She developed a good relationship with House Speaker Philip DeVilliers. And, of course, she has strong relationships with, you know, the New Orleans delegation, particularly Senator Jimmy Harris, who was one of her early supporters. And what she did was she just let things – she walked them off the edge, and strategically she, along with her colleagues on the council, especially J.P. Morrell, who just won his reelection to councilman-at-large, and Joe Geruso, who's the chair of the Council Budget Committee, the three of them, you know, just sort of strategically worked it to where they bought some time for the city and let the state people calm down, and then they were able to kind of – put together a strategy and a package, and they sold it. And the governor went, okay. And Liz Morrill, the attorney general, said, okay. And, you know, there's going to be some monitoring and some guardrails on all of this, but that's what she put together with the council members, and it's going to work. And it got the city the money it needs. And that's the way to handle a crisis like that. So that augurs very well for New Orleans in the next 4 to 8 years.
I'm extremely optimistic. Thank you, Clancy. Have a good weekend. Oh, real quick, I was asking people on a lighter note, what's your go-to po' boy? What is yours?
You talking about what type or what place?
What type?
Oh, roast beef, sloppy roast beef debris with Swiss cheese and Creole mustard.
You want to take a shower? You want to take a shower after you finish, right?
Well, no, I just need about 10 or 12 napkins.
Well, with Scott Towels. Got you. Thank you, Clancy. Have a good weekend. We'll take a break. Come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Dr. Jean Beck, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital, to talk about being cold and flu season for humans. But what about our furry friends? What are some of the signs that our pets may be sick? And when should we take them to the vet? How you doing, Dr. Jean?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Am I saying it right or is it Jean?
No, you got it. It's
Jean. So. It seemed like it should be. Tell me what we should look for when it comes to dogs and cats and other pets as far as cold and flu season goes, and how susceptible are they to these kind of things? Can they get the flu?
Yeah. So, no, great news is the flu in humans is not zoonotic, meaning dogs and cats cannot get it from us. So you can feel safe to cuddle up with them when you're not feeling well without harming them. But they can get their own version of an upper respiratory infection. It doesn't really have a specific season. It does kind of linger year round. But some common things that you're going to notice would be a progressive cough. So not necessarily like a sporadic cough here and there, but a cough that's getting worse every day. They may have a runny nose, something, you know, yellow, green discharge would be alarming. They may have a fever. They may just not feel well. you know, not as excited about going on that walk, not as excited about their food, you know, those would all be signs that we should bring them into the vet.
When it comes to us, you said they can't catch it from us, but they can catch it from each other or not?
Yes, they can spread it by contact. So sometimes some of them are social dogs that, you know, dogs that are visiting the boarding facilities, the dog parks, the daycares, or even just traveling. You know, we have a ton of pets that travel in airports now. It can be spread by contact with other dogs. And we do vaccinate them. You know, we just like people with the flu vaccine, we do have an upper respiratory vaccine called the Bordetella or the kennel cough vaccine. And that it doesn't completely prevent them from contracting the virus, but it helps their body fight it easier. So their symptoms aren't as severe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that kennel cough. What exactly is that?
So it's a, you know, there's multiple viruses that can be under that that branch, but it is an upper respiratory virus that, just like the flu or cold in people, is the dog version. And so we vaccinate them, you know, every year for that. And we, you know, just try and keep them healthy by minimizing the, you know, their how severe that virus is for them.
So you can vaccinate a dog against kennel cough, and that's why when you bring the dog to the kennel, sometimes they vaccinate it for you if it hasn't been?
Exactly, yes. If boarding facilities have a connected clinic attached, if they're not up to date, they will recommend it just to try and minimize the spread within the facility. And that having that virus, you know, the vaccine on board really helps their body. So if they are exposed to it, they already have, you know, the antibodies ready to help them mount that response to fight it.
You know, AKC released its name of the hottest dog names or whatever it was. What's the best dog name you've ever heard, Doc? I don't want you to pick favorites among patients or anything. Leave the patients out of it, just in general. You know what? This has nothing to do with your patients. This is the best dog name that you've ever seen or read. Got nothing to do with your clientele at all.
Oh, that's a loaded one.
We see it?
So many. I might need to think about that.
Because let me tell you something stupid. I named my dog Grady, G-R-R-R-A-D-Y, which gets the people mad when they type it in until they realize what I did, that it spells Grady, right?
And when I love that.
When I brought him to the boarding facility, they said there was going to be an interview the next day, and I got ready for the interview. Come to find out, they were interviewing the dog to see if he could play well with others. How dumb is that?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I was already, man. I was thinking, well, what could they ask you? They might ask you this, they might ask you that, and I was already, we're ready for the interview. Yes. Well, let's take him in right now. What do you mean? I thought the interview was with me. No, it's with the dog. Okay. And apparently he did well because he was able to play with others. Questions?
Yes.
Questions are coming in. You think about your answer. We'll pick it up when we come back. 850, 10 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 856, 4 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dr. John Beck, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital, about the cold and flu season and how our pets need to be vaccinated and what they can get and what they can't get. The top 10 girl dog names of 2025, according to the AKC, Luna, Bella, Daisy, Lucy, Ruby, Willow, Maggie, Penny, Nova, and Sadie. The boy names are Max, Hank, Teddy, Cooper, Gus, Bear, Duke, Maverick, Charlie, and Finn. And I once had a Max. What about you, Doc? What about the best name you've ever heard besides Grady?
I do love that one. And actually, listen to your list. I have a Finn, so we're at the top of the list. Yep. Okay. But, you know, I have two kind of categories. So one of the most clever ones, I would say, is one of our associates actually here has a Harry Trotter.
That's cute.
So, yes. Okay. And then I do, you know, I like food, obviously, living in New Orleans. So we have two cats that their names are Quesadilla and Nacho. And I just think that's so cute.
Very nice. Somebody texted in and said they had a coal black lab named Zorro. So when it comes
I love that.
Doc, when it comes to somebody deciding as we approach the holiday season here, what kind of dog is best for them? Do you have some resources for them if they, first of all, take me through the process of deciding whether or not a dog is a good idea for a holiday pet and or cat, what kind of commitment you're making, and if so, what kind to get?
Yeah, so I think that's very specific to every, you know, person, individual, family. But I think a lot of, you know, presents can be really fun and exciting, but it is important to put some thought behind it. You know, if you're buying a new puppy for a young child, you know, having the idea that, you know, you're probably going to be a lot of the one taking on that responsibility, you know, if you do have young kids, and, you know, understanding the lifestyle. You know, we have a lot of active dog breeds that need a lot of energy, and, you know, really kind of doing that, reflecting on your lifestyle, how much time you have to devote to them, can be really important, because it is a huge commitment. You know, it's, you know, they need a lot of time and attention, and you don't want to jump into something too soon if, you know, you don't put enough thought behind it.
Is there an age, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but where maybe you want to, you know, a baby and a puppy is a lot, maybe you want to let, yeah, I don't know if you're a mom or not, but maybe you want to let one grow a little bit more than the other?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I am. I have two kids, and, you know, I think when, as far as what kind of age of dog is best for kids, you know, it can be fun to have a puppy. You also have the teething aspect of puppies, mm-hmm. and, you know, potty training, and that's a lot of
potty training going on. A lot of potty training going on at one time if you're doing both kids.
Exactly.
And
so
dogs.
Maybe, you know, rescuing an adult dog that, you know, has a good personality and can be trusted with kids would be a little bit better fit.
And make sure you go through the interview process. Thank you, Doc.
Exactly.
Appreciate
it. Yes, no problem.
Dr. Sean Beck, our friend veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. We're going to come back. I give you the results of our Po' Boy survey that we've taken. We take a little survey top of mind every day. Today we were talking about what your go-to Po' Boy. I give you the results when we come back. Plus we'll talk eating and drinking with Ian McNulty. Stay with us. It's going to be fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.